Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. This is part 4 in our series. We've looked at, first of all, we started talking about Abraham giving tithe to Melchizedek. We found out that it was 430 years before the law came in, approximately 430 years before the law came in, that Abraham did that. Then we talked about the tithing was there under the law, and it's still mentioned in the New Testament after the law. And in the book of Hebrews in different places, we talked about last week in Corinthians there about the support. We talk about the tithe, first of all, is it for today? That was the first message. The second message was who owns it? The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. It's holy to him, and it's his portion. Last week we looked at tithing. I'm just trying to remember what the title, the subtitle was last week. What is it? What is it used for? There you go. What is it used for? And we went through a lot of scriptures last week, and talking about the tithing was God's way of supporting his work on the earth. God wants his message in the earth, and the Bible says he gives us power to prosper so that he can establish his covenant in the earth. So God's way of financing his kingdom's work here on the earth is through the tithing system. When you stop tithing, you're not stopping tithing to the pastor, because the pastor's not receiving your tithe. He's receiving it on behalf of God, but it doesn't belong to the pastor. It's God's tithe. You understand that? So just because somebody don't like a pastor or don't like this or don't like something else, I can remember years ago we were in one community, and a man started coming to our church from another church. And he was mad at something that the pastor had said, you know, or wasn't the pastor, it was a different title on him there. But anyway, he was mad at this minister for what the minister said something in a sermon. So he stopped going to church for over a year. And he came to our church, and he said, I got all my tithes, he said, saved up, he said, from, you know, whenever he had this little spiel with his pastor. And he said, I'm just looking around for a church, he said, to call home, he said, and you know, whatever church that is going to get the money. And it was up in the thousands of dollars. He told me the figure. And so I think he's kind of hoping that I would bite for it and stuff like that. I said, I tell you what to do. I said, that tithe, I said, is not mine. I said, matter of fact, it's not even your pastor. It's the one you're mad with. I said, it belongs to God. The best thing for you to do is go back and put it in your own church. And so he got kind of mad at me and left and went back. But we went down a few years ago, and Dave and Darlene went down. Actually, we went to a funeral, and in the graveyard, when we were doing the graveside service, the man came up to me. At this time, now he had given his... At that time, he wasn't saved. His wife was saved, but he was still going to church every Sunday. But he came up to me and he said, I gave my heart to the Lord. He said, I'm serving God now, he said. And I said, what church are you in? Back to his home church. So thank God for that. Anyway, but the tithe belongs to the Lord. It's used for his work here on the earth. God says, we talked about last week, he gave it to the Levites, which are the priesthood. He gave it to the Levites, he said, for the work that they do in a tabernacle of meeting. For the work that they do in exchange, he said, for the work that you do. And so this is what the tithe is used for. It's used to support ministries in a local church as the pastor, the different ministries, the different things. I mean, you got children going out to kids' church. They need little fish crackers and everything else. All these things are going to be paid for somewhere. And this is the kind of stuff that, you know, the tithe is used for, is to finance God's kingdom, God's work here on the earth. And I believe God is probably the greatest. Well, I know he is the greatest, but he's the probably the largest employer on the planet. When you look at all the different ministries and churches and everything else that God's got, and he knew what he was doing when he set up the tithing system. Some people say, I don't believe in the tithing system. Well, you don't believe what God believed, because God, that's what he set up to finance his kingdom. Anyway, today we're going to look at that tithing. And as I said, this is part 4. And we're looking at today, what is the purpose of it? What's the purpose of it? Why do we do it? Now, I know that you can say, well, it's to finance the kingdom, and that's true. But go a little deeper now. What is the purpose of the tithe? Why is it important? What is it all about? And the very first word that we're going to read now in a second will give you the clue to it. Okay? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And this is what the cell lesson is on this week as well, the same verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Now, I'm reading from the New King James. A lot of you got the King James or some other version, but probably say basically the same thing anyway. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look into the Word this morning. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the goodness of God. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for all the provisions that you've given to us, all the blessings you bestow upon us. And Father, we know there's nothing that we can do, Lord, to merit that. There's nothing we can do to earn it. And Father, everything comes as a gift from your hands. Your word tells us, Lord, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So Father, everything here belongs to you. And Father, we're so thankful for the blessings that you bestow upon us from your supply. And now, Lord, as we look into the Word of God this morning, we just ask that the Holy Spirit would just direct us and guide us and help us to understand this and help us to put it into practice and see the truth of what your Word says about it. And we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Now, in the King James, it says, honor the Lord with your substance, or with all your substance. Not sure which it says here, but with your substance. And the word honor, if you look it up, it says to have high respect, to have high esteem, and to regard with great respect. That's what the word honor means. To have high esteem of someone, to respect them for something. And this is what the Word of God is saying. So the Bible tells us that when we honor the Lord with our substance, with our possessions, we're saying to God, we have high esteem of you. We regard you greatly and highly. And so this is what the purpose, if you want to look at it from that perspective, of tithing is to honor God with it. When we learn to honor the Lord, you find out that God, once we start to honor him, God starts to honor us. And as we, and this is a principle that God has all done through the scripture. God says, you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. You know, if we take the first step, God has already made the first step in everything that we have today. He's the one that sent his son down when we had nothing to do with it. While we were still sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. We had nothing to do with it. God made the first step, sending his son. In everything that God supplies to us, he's already made the first step. And God says, now the rest of it is up to you. You make a step towards me, and he said, I'll do more towards you. So we need to understand that the minute that we start to move towards God, God begins to move to toward us. So when we start to honor God, God starts to honor us. When we start to bless God, God begins to bless us. So we need to comprehend that and understand that and put it into practice in our lives, that whenever you're going through something, we talked about last week, when you need to receive something from God, you step out by faith and you plant a seed in a certain area or give something to God. See, we all want God to multiply things to us. Multiply our health so we'll be good and healthy. Multiply our finances. Multiply, you know, whatever it might be. But the thing is, until we give God something to work with, he's got nothing to multiply. So God needs something released to him. And the minute that we release something to him, then God blesses it and it multiplies. Like the little boy with the fishes we talked about a little while ago. As he released that lunch to Jesus, the Bible says Jesus took it and he blessed it. And when you add the blessing with something that you put into his hand, then all of a sudden it multiplies. You understand? So you've got, in order to get the multiplication, you've got to release something from your hands into God's hands. And it doesn't have to be something great. Some people say, well, I don't have much. You don't need much. I challenge you to go through Scripture. We've talked about this before. I challenge you to go through Scripture and find somewhere where God asks for something big from people. He just asks small things. Little boy's lunch, a stick. You know, no matter what it is, it's just something small. And God says, you do this, I'll do this. We talked about it before during Malachi chapter 3. God says, if you return the tithe, I'll return the blessing. And once we learn that principle and start put the tithing principle back into work again, God's blessing starts to multiply our finances. And I've said this dozens of times. You fellows have experienced this yourself, I'm sure, those that tithe. You say, well, you know, I don't understand how I can give the 10%. And if you're looking at it as money, that's how you're going to think. It's going to become a challenge to you. It's going to become a chore to you. But if you look at it as honoring God, all that fear gets gone. And the minute you release that 10%, God blesses the 90% far above what the 100% could have ever done. I mean, you know, anybody that have tithed can tell you the same thing, that God will bless the 90% far greater than the 100% could have ever gone. And you say, well, you know, I've been tithing all my life, and I've struggled at it, and I've done this, and I've done something else, and it just doesn't seem to work. Well, we're going to look at a few thoughts today that might help you to tune in and fine-tune which way to tithe. Because it's not about just the tithing, putting an offering in the plate. It's got a lot to do with our attitude of heart. Remember the Bible says in the New Testament, God loves a cheerful giver. If you put it in and say, man, I got to do that again this week. I can't stand doing this. I know I got to do it, but I just can't, you know, and you just throw it in there. You're not going to get much of a return on that. God loves a cheerful giver. Anyway, he says here, honor the Lord with your possessions, with your substance, with your stuff, you know, the stuff that you own, or at least we think we own. And if you stop and think that through and just say, what does that mean? Honor the Lord with your possessions. What are your possessions? Right? I look at it this way. Now, you can argue about it and everything else. You're entitled to your wrong opinion. But I look at it this way. My possessions are, you know, the things that we think we own anyway, you know. And I know we can get in debate and God owns everything, and I understand that too. But, like, for instance, if you have a car, honor God with it. Maybe somebody needs a ride to church. And I let them in my car. Honor God with your car. If you got giftings, honor God with it. If you got talents that you can do something that maybe, you know, everybody else is struggling, honor God with it. You got a home, honor God with it. Your possessions, the things that you own, honor God with it. It's not just about the money. It's your possessions, everything you own. Honor God with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. You got health and strength, honor God with it. Maybe somebody else is struggling and just can't do something because they're not well. Help them out. Honor God with your health and strength. With all that you possess, honor God with it. Sometimes people look at, you know, when we talk about tithing, and say, well, you know, I can't afford to tithe. And I can always kick back, I can't afford not to tithe. They say, I can't afford to tithe. If I had lots of money, then I'd tithe. If I was a millionaire, I'd tithe then. Was it? If I had $1 million. You know the song they sing? If I had this much of money, if I had a good job, if I had this, if I had that, if I had something else, then I'd tithe. But that's not how it works. You start where you are. I think it was Colgate, the fellow the Colgate toothpaste. I think it was him. Anyway, he was a Christian man. And he said, I would never be able to tithe from the first $1 million I made if I never learned to tithe, he said, from the first dollar I made as a newspaper boy delivering newspapers. He started out down there. And as you start at the lower end, God will bless that. God would bless it. I was looking at, and you've probably seen this program on television. I don't even know if it was on there anymore now. But they had a program on there last year anyway. And was it called trading or swapping or something like that? Somebody, you know, they wanted a car or something. And they'd look around their yard or look at their shop somewhere, and all they could find was a flower pot. And he'd take that flower pot and he'd go around and he'd find somebody that, you know, needed a flower pot, but they had something else that was a little bit more value, so he changed the flower pot with them, and then he'd get what they had, probably a bicycle, I don't know, you know, a tricycle or something, and then he'd go along and he'd change that into a bicycle, and he'd change that, you know, he'd keep on moving up, and eventually, well, see, tithing works in a much the same kind of way, probably not exactly that, but what I'm trying to say, it starts out at the very bottom. You be faithful in the little things, and God will make you ruler over greater things. You be faithful in, you honor God in the small things, and God will bless you with greater things. But see, what we're wanting God to bless us with the greater things, but he can't even trust us with the small things. If you can't give up $5, How in the world are you going to give up 500 if he blesses you with $5,000? You understand? So God gives you something small to start with and say, listen, trust me in this. Just try it and prove me. You know, and as we begin to release something in the smaller realm, God will bless it and will multiply, and then you got a bigger realm, and I tell you, the devil's always going to come in. And when God starts to bless you, I told you a story a little while ago, but a fellow started out in a newspaper, this is back in the 1800s, started out in a newspaper in London, England, working for a man, making $40 a week. And all of a sudden, God started to bless him and things like this. But one fellow, it was $50, and he had to end up giving, I think it was $5 out of every check. And eventually got up to the point where he was making $500 a week. Now, this is back in the 1800s. You know, I mean, that was big, big money back there. And he's making $500 a week, and he had to give $50 a week or whatever. But anyhow, he came back to the pastor after. He said, can I change this system? He said, I got to give too much now. And the pastor said, no. He said, we can't change that. He said, but I tell you what we can do. He said, we can pray that you go back to where you were in the first place. You see, because if you're faithful in the small area, God will bless you in the greater area. And you don't hold a tithe back. We talked about this last week. You know, they said, when they brought the tithe, they said, God, we've removed all the holy tithe from our house, and we brought it out. We've kept nothing for ourselves. We've not used it when we were mourning. We've not used it when we were going through struggles. We've not used it because this is yours, and it belongs to you, and we'll honor you with it. And God said, if you'll honor me with it, I'll bless you. You know, so this is what the tithing is all about. So it's about honoring God for who he is and trusting him. And here's another thought. God will never ask you to honor him at a level higher than where you are. Now, what I mean by that, just mention it anyway, but God will never ask you to honor him higher than what you're able to do. For instance, and we just use it, we're talking about tithing, so let's just use money for an example. If there's a person that's making $5,000 a month and a person making $100 a month, or let's say $1,000 a month, because you get $5,000 and $1,000, God is not going to ask you to honor him at a level higher than where you are. He's not going to ask you to honor him at a level of $5,000 if you're only at the $1,000 level. You understand? He'll never ask you to honor him above where you are. But the percentage is the same. So as we honor God, and I know and I understand this, sometimes it's easier sometimes for somebody who's got, you know, $50,000 in the bank to give a tithe of something, or a person who's only got $500 in the bank. I can understand it. But the principle is the same. You have to honor God. And the minute you start honoring God, God starts to honor you. And you can't out-honor God. A lot of times we say we can't out-give God, which is true. We can't out-give God. I've proven that. You've all proven that. You know. But you know the funny thing about it? We approve God in something. Maybe there's a financial struggle or something, or you know, and we give something to God, and we say, Lord, we're trusting you, and God will come through for us and bless us. And then 2 months in a row, we run up against another hard situation. Oh, my, what am I going to do now? We forget what God did for us back in the last time. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? The Bible says a little while after they were going somewhere, and the disciples were questioning amongst themselves, what are we going to eat? What are we going to do? And Jesus said, what are you questioning amongst yourselves? He said, don't you remember? He said, what happened? He said, back there, he said, when I fed the 5,000? He said, how many baskets were left over? They said, 12. And he said, when I fed the 4,000, how many baskets were left? They said, 7. And you're wondering what you're going to do to eat? You know, and we all go through that. There's struggles that we go through sometimes. God will bring us through it. And you know it as well as I do. While we're going through a struggle, it's very difficult sometimes to see God in it. God has got a way of leading us and directing us, but just staying out of sight a little bit. So that we're wondering if God is with us or not, because he wants to know if we're going to trust him, if we're going to honor him or not. And if we don't learn to honor him, we'll just go back to the same cycle over and over and over. Some people say, I don't know why I'm not getting ahead, because you haven't learned the first step. You know, God doesn't pass you and move you on to the next grade, you know, just because you got older. Okay, we have to learn, and as we grow and learn the first step and put that into practice and make that an issue in our life and make that an honoring step to God, then God will bless us and bring us up to another level. And once we learn there to put our trust in Him no matter what happens, then God will bless us and bring us up to another level, and we keep on moving. But see, if we haven't learned the first lesson, you see, and you've all seen this. You see people come in, sometimes they got saved, and probably within 2 years, they're just skyrocketing in their Christian walk. And you get somebody else been saved for 15 years, and they're just struggling and just going around in circles. I don't know why everything works out this way for me. I don't know why it's so hard for me. Well, because we haven't learned the first step. We haven't put it into practice. We haven't let God use us and allow God to bless us in these areas. God says, you honor me, I'll honor you. Honor the Lord with the first fruits, with your substance, and with all the first fruits of all your increase. When you honor God with your substance, you're saying that you believe that He exists. The Bible says, he that comes to God, over in the book of Hebrews tells us, he that comes to God must believe that He is. Okay, if you're going to receive something from God, you've got to believe that God is real. Believe that He is, the Bible says, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So when we honor God with our substance, we're believing that He exists, we're believing that He's real, and we're believing that He's our source. He's the one that is our source. We used to have a fellow in one of our churches, and he used to work in a mining, the church was in a mining town. The mine was closed down about a year before we moved there. So a lot of the fellows, you know, received packages and different things and stuff like this, but some of them were too young, and they had to go out and get another job, another career to learn different things. And I remember one fellow, I mean, you might think it's a bit humorous, but proof was in the pudding. He took his wallet out one time. He said he's up in his bedroom praying, and he had nothing in his wallet. It was totally empty. But he was tithing. And he said he was walking around his bedroom one day, he said, praying, and he took his wallet out, and he said, there's nothing in you now. He said, but I see today, he said, there'll be so much in you. He said, I won't be able to close you. You know, it's like sometimes you try to fold the wallet together so much money in there. And I remember one Sunday, he got up to church, and he held his wallet up, and, you know, and he said, here it is. He said, and he told us the story. He said, I told God, he said, one day, he said, I'll see this so full. He said, I won't be able to close. And here he was trying to close it, and it wouldn't even close. He had so much money in his wallet. But he used to always say, and there was a mining company in the town, and the name of the company was ASARCO, American Smelting and Refining Company. And he worked there for a number of years, but like I said, he wasn't old enough to get the package when the mine closed down, so he was just a year or so short. But anyway, he never got anything, so he had to go out and, you know, take another career. And I can remember time after time after time, he'd stand up in the service, and we used to have testimony services almost every service back then, and he'd stand up in the service, and he used to say, I thank God for every dollar, he said, I made working at ASARCO. He said, but ASARCO is not my source. He said, God is my source. And God blessed him and brought him out of bondage and everything else, financially and everything else, and God blessed him. You know, because once you realize who your source is not where you're working. I mean, if you're a mechanic working in a garage somewhere, that's not your source. Whatever you're working at, that's not your source. If you're working in a factory somewhere, that's not your source. That's what the channel of God is using to get, but your source is God. If that channel is gone, God is still there. And until we get to understand that and honor God and realize that God is over everything and He changes not, until we start to realize that He's our source, not some company, not some business, not some, you know, person, God is our source. And once we get that and start to understand that and start to get that down until you know that so much as you know your name and you're so convinced of that as you're convinced of anything else, when you get to understand, then all of a sudden you start to honor God. You say, listen, no matter what happens, you know, no matter what happens in the economy, no matter what happens in the world, no matter, God is still my source. And when we get to that place and put our trust in God, then you'll start seeing the doors open. But as long as you're trying to get your own way through life and trying to, you know, figure out things on your own and not honor God, you're going to have a very tough struggle. God says, honor me and I'll turn it around and I'll honor you. That's a promise. He said, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits. The first fruits is the first lot that comes in. When they would go in and they would plant their crop, and then in the fall of the year when they would harvest it, they would take some of the first fruits, put it in a basket and bring it down to the priest and offer it to God. And say, listen, this is the first fruits of my crop. And God said, if you'll honor me that way, he said, I've blessed the fields. I've blessed the crops. Isaac did that. And the Bible says, in the midst of famine, he had an overwhelming abundance of a harvest. Everyone else was in famine. But Isaac's field were still blooming. Why? Because he honored God with the first fruits of all of his increase. He said, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. God says, do it so that your barns will be filled with plenty. I mean, this is another challenge. It's almost like he said there in Malachi chapter 3, prove me herewith. He said, do this, and he said, your barns will be filled. Now, what would be our barns today? He's not talking about a little barn up behind your house somewhere, and even though maybe if you're a farmer it would be, but most of us aren't farmers today. But he's talking about everything that we need. The supply that we need will be fulfilled. It will be filled. You know, whatever we're lacking in life, God is going to make up for us. If we would honor him, he'll honor us and look after us. He said, your barns will be filled with plenty. He said, your vats will overflow with new wine. But it only happens if we honor him. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Let's look back there for a minute. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 26. We touched on this passage a little while ago. Deuteronomy chapter 26. As I said, there are times when we tithe. And some people have been tithing, but seem like they're not getting ahead. And some people just give up on tithing because it don't seem to work. See, this is where we're looking at it as money. If we look at it as honoring God, it totally changes. The entire thing changes once we understand what it's all about. Okay, it's to honor God first. Remember back in the Garden of Eden, we talked about it a little while ago? The tree of life was there, tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said, Adam, that belongs to me. Don't touch it. That's my portion. You can have everything else, but that's my portion. You don't touch God's portion. The principle is there right from back in Genesis. We're on down through. We find out there's a portion on the earth that belongs to God. It's called the tithe. Now, let me say something to you. Because a lot of times we think the tithe, how can I say this? We think that it only applies to Christians. But no, the tithe of the earth belongs to the Lord. And God's people should give it back to him. The world doesn't do that. But there are some in the world that made their millions and multiplied millions by giving back. There's a principle that God has put into the planet that if you give back, God multiplies what you have. But if you try to hold on to it, he said, you'll lose what you do have. Remember what scripture talks about things like that? When you hold on to it yourself and try to hoard it for yourself, said, oh no, I can't let anybody have that. I'm looking for myself. I don't care about anybody else. I'm looking for myself. It's got a way of shrinking. But when you release it, you allow God to do something with it. You say, I don't know if God will do it. That's where you got to trust him. That's where honor comes in. You got to trust him to do something about it. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 26, God tells us how we should bring the tithe. How we should bring the tithe to him. There's two very, very important things we should remember when we're talking about tithing. Number one is the amount that we're talking about. God is looking at the amount. Some people say, well, I don't believe God is all that concerned about the amount. We look at it in a minute. Is the amount. And secondly, is the attitude in which we give it. How our heart is tied into it. As I already mentioned in the New Testament, the Bible tells us God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. You ever receive something sometimes? Maybe when you're a child or something, or maybe in business. Maybe you did a job for somebody. You know, some of you people were contractors, whatever. Or maybe you sold somebody something. And, and they never paid you for what you sold to them or what the work you did for them or whatever the case might be. That money rightfully belongs to you. And you might say to him, well, I need my money. You know, and I mean, there's channels now this day and age to get your money and different things. But you might say to him, you know, I need my money. I did the work for you, or I sold you the car, or I, you know, whatever the case might be, but I need my money. And maybe it goes to court. And the judge rules in your favor, and you get the money, and the person comes back to you and throws it across the table and says, here's your stinking money, take it. Now, how many knows that you got your money, but you weren't honored in the way it came back to you? You understand that? It wasn't a very honorable way that it came back to you. Instead of feeling honored, you felt disrespected and everything else, because that's not the way you just, you know, treat people. But a lot of times we've done the same thing with our tithe to God. God, you know, I got bills to pay, and I know I got a tithe, and at our church they believe in tithing. For sure the pastor's going to say something about it. And so here's the money. Now, do you think God is honored with that? See, this is where the honor comes in. This is what he's talking about. Honor him with your giving. Don't just throw it in his face and say, yeah, take it. You know, you want it. I know you're not going to bless me, I'm going to give it to you. Well, you might as well keep it and try to make it on your own. God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. So these two things we need to understand is the amount that God tells us and the attitude by which we bring it. And God is not so concerned about what we're doing as he is how we're doing it. You understand that? Deuteronomy chapter 26. God is telling them how to bring their offerings, their tithe and whatever, to him. How to honor him with it. Deuteronomy chapter 26. It shall be, verse 1 there, now I'm reading from New King James. It shall be when you come into the land which your Lord, And it shall be when you come into the land. I get so used to reading King James, and when I do something else, the words are backwards. That when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, has an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of the produce of the ground. This is your first fruits. Remember? You shall take some of the first of the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days. Now it's interesting that he said that, because in this day and age, we have a priest. It's our high priest, Jesus. Okay? We offer a sacrifice of praise through our high priest, Jesus. He stands between us and God. The Bible says he's ever interceding for us. Doesn't mean to say he's always praying for us to get through life and everything else. So sometimes we think of interceding that way. No, he's the mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. He's our high priest. So when we go today and we take our tithe today, we're bringing it to our high priest. You understand that? So he said, go to the one who was priest in those days and say to him, I declare today. Now notice what he's saying here. He even tells us what to say when we bring our offerings. Now this is interesting. This is important because a lot of us miss it in this very area. And if we miss it in this area, then we wonder, why is it not working? How come I'm giving, you know, I'm tithing, I've been faithful, and it's just not working? I might as well give up. Well, see, this is where we're not honoring God. When we get that attitude that we might as well give up, it shows that we're not honoring God. Notice what he says here. You shall go to the one who is priest, verse 3, in those days, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Now, I'm going to bring this up to date in our terms today, but just go down through it. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand, this offering that you brought. You come up to the priest, and you say, I declare today that God has brought me into this land. This land is flowing with milk and honey, and God has blessed me, and here's some of the first fruits of the land. He says, you do that with your offering when you bring it to God. Okay? Then he says, then the priest shall take it out of your hand and place it on the altar before God. Okay? Now, let's... Then the priest, verse 4, shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall answer and say before the Lord your God. This is what you should say. My father was a Syrian, about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation great and mighty and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and afflicted us and laid hard bondage upon us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, with great terror, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us to this place, and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God, and worship before the Lord your God. So shall you rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you, and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. Now, so what he's saying here, when you bring your tithe, it's a thing of honor, okay? It's not just giving some more money. When you look at tithing, let me put it this way. When you look at tithing as the church is trying to get something from me, or God is trying to get something from me, you're looking at it in the wrong area. I heard a fellow preaching one time. This is probably a stupid example, but you're all old enough to understand it. He says, it's like a man and woman getting married, and they're on their honeymoon. And the fellow looks at you and says, do I have to kiss her? It's not that you have to, you get to. You understand the difference? If you're looking at tithing, you say, do I have to tithe? No, you get to tithe, because when you give the tithe to God, God's got a system to multiply that and bless you with it. You understand? We got to look at it from the other perspective. Instead of looking at it as a dreadful thing, looking at it as a privilege, as a thing of honor, as when we honor God, God will honor us with it. But if you're looking at it, do I have to tithe? Well, just that question, I'm not going to ask you a show of hands if you think that way, but if you're thinking that way, it just shows that we've misunderstood what it's all about. It's an honorable thing. It's to honor Him, to esteem Him, and see Him as high and lifted up. And then when we do that, then God honors us. But this is what he's saying here. So he said, when you go in, he said, now they had a thing that they had to say. What he was doing is reviewing their history. My father was a Syrian. And he went on back, and you know, you look at they're the children now of Israel, which is Jacob. But before that was Isaac, and before that was Abraham. And he said, we came out of nowhere. We came out of Syria. And he said, we were perishing. We had nothing. And he said, we went down to Egypt, and they mistreated us. He said, but you increased us and brought us out of that. And now you've brought us into a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and we've been blessed. And when we come to God with our tithe in the very same way, and say, Lord, I remember back when, you know, whatever you were involved in. I remember when I was an alcoholic, and I couldn't walk straight, and I couldn't think straight, and I couldn't, you know, and God, you've reached down. And somewhere along the line, somebody contacted me. Somebody took me to an AA meeting. Somebody brought me to a church meeting. And God, I'm growing. I might not be where I'm going to be 5 years in a row, but Lord, I've already started to grow, and I could see your blessings upon me. And God, I'm bringing this back to you. And when we come in that way and say, Lord, this is nothing compared to all the blessings you bestow upon me. This little bit that I'm giving back to you, considering everything you've done in my life, all the blessings you bestowed upon me, God, I'm bringing back to you, and I'm honoring you. And I'm declaring today, you're my source. You're my God. Everything I own comes from you. And when we come to that attitude, then we're honoring God with it. And God says, you bring back the tithes. You just watch. He said, if I want to open up the windows of heaven, when you start to honor me, he said, you return the tithe. He said, I'll return the blessing. But if you do it grudgingly, don't expect to receive anything. You better keep it yourself and struggle along the way you've been doing. You will need every dollar you can get. But if you start to honor God with it and say, God, I'm doing this because of all the blessings you bestowed upon me, everything you've done in my life, all the goodness you've brought into my life. And when you start doing that and honoring God, then God will honor you. Over in the book of Hebrews, I haven't got the time to get into all the scriptures I had here this morning. Over in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8, he said, here on the earth, mortal men receive tithe. We took the offering this morning, and we had some ushers go around to come around the plates, and we put our tithe and offerings in there. And we have people in the church that take that and count it and put it in the bank and different things and paid the bills and whatever's got to be done. Here, mortal man, people that die, receive tithe. But there, the Bible says here, he said, there he receives them, of whom it is witness that he lives. Here, mortal man take them. We'll be on the earth 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, 100 years, whatever. But we die. The Bible says even the Old Testament priesthood had this limitation, that the priest would die. But he said, now we have a high priest that lives forever. And he changes not. And here, mortal man receives a tithe. But there, he's receiving them. You see, when they brought the offering in, they would come to the priest. The priest would receive it and present it before God. Jesus is our high priest today. When we bring our tithe and offerings today, and we say, Lord, and I do this honestly. I usually shouldn't tell you because you're breaking my oath to steal my tithe. But I get my tithe, and first thing I do, when I put my check in the bank, I take out the tithe. That's the very first thing we do is take out the tithe. I go home and I put it, I get my envelopes there, and I take it and I stick it in the envelope, mark it on it. And while I'm doing that, I say, God, thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfectly and go down through the whole thing that we just covered, but you know, I say, God, thank you for all the blessings. Lord, you bless us. You've given us health and strength, and you've prospered us and helped us. Lord, we don't have to worry about where the next meal is coming from. We don't have to worry about this and that and everything. God, you've blessed us in the area where you brought us to. And I thank, honestly, I'm not just saying this, I thank God for this church. You know, we came here a long time ago now, 18 years ago, you know, and somebody said to me a while ago, we were talking to somebody, they said, how long have you been there? I said, almost 18 years. They said, people haven't got sick of you yet? I said, well, they haven't said much about it, but they probably have, but they haven't said much. I said, but I think they're pretty good. You know? And I thank God for everyone. You know? And as we do that, I believe then we're honoring God. I said, Lord, what I'm giving back is nothing compared to everything you've done for me. You know, we sing a song years ago, when I look around and see all that God has done for me, I don't know what I would do without the Lord. You see, people sometimes, they go through struggles, they go through battles in life, they go through sicknesses, and they go through, you know, I was talking to Earl this week on the phone, and Earl was saying, you know, when people go through struggles and got to face, you know, surgeries and cancers and all these different things, what do you do if you don't have the Lord? You know, you don't have a church family to pray with you, to encourage you. You know, we ought to honor God for what he's done for us. I had too many scriptures to cover this morning. Go over to Mark chapter 12 for a minute, and we'll clear up in a few minutes. Mark chapter 12. You might say, well, I don't really think it's all that important, you know, about tithing. I think you're making a big issue, but nothing. Well, let's see what the Word of God says. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't go to church because all they talk about is money. I told you before, this is the first time I preached on tithing, and this is 1998, so it's not all we talk about. There's a number of years there we never talked about it. All they talk about is money. All they want is your money. No, I honestly think the church is about the only place you can go where they don't want your money. You go in Walmart and try to get something. All they want is your money. You can have anything up there if you give them the money. I'm not picking on Walmart. They're all the same. You know, I mean, that's business. I mean, I'm not criticizing that. I mean, that's how it works. But I'm saying this is the place that, you know, is always asking for. Churches don't be asking for your money. Mark chapter 12. Verse 41. Some people say, well, you know, God's not concerned. Well, let's look at this. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury. Now, back in the temple, instead of going around with an offering plate like we do today, they would have a box set up in the back part of the sanctuary or the temple area. And as people came or went or whatever, they would drop their offering in the box. Okay? So Jesus came into the temple one day, and you say, well, Jesus is not interested in what we're doing with our giving. Well, is he not? Well, let's look. It says, Jesus sat opposite the treasury. I mean, he went in and there was, let's say there's the treasury right there. You know, people are coming in, they're putting their offering in and going on into the sanctuary, whatever they're doing. Jesus came in and stood over to the side like this and started looking at them. I mean, it's Jesus. And it says here, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw, now notice the word here, how the people. He saw how the people put money into their treasury. It stuck me. He saw how they were putting it in. See, it's not if you put it in, it's how you put it in that God is interested in. You understand that? It's how you do it. If you do it as an honorable thing, as you do it because you love the Lord, then you can expect a blessing for it. But if you're only throwing it in because, well, take it. You know, it's like I said, it's like going to court and got to twist somebody's arm and get the money from them. That's not honorable. So Jesus looked at how they were putting it in. He sat over against the treasury and he watched the people, how they put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Now you got to understand, they lived under a tithing system. This was the law. They lived under the tithing system. So the rich people came in and they put in a lot. You think Jesus would have been there, that's good. You know, that's more money coming in there. Jesus never said a word about that, but notice what happened here. Then one poor widow came in. Remember we're talking about a little widow woman? One poor widow came in. Now you got to understand, they never had social systems like we have today where they have, you know, social services looking after things. They had no means of support. Remember back under the Old Testament, we talked about last week, was the Levite, because he had no inheritance, he had no other way to make an income. The Levite, the stranger, the people that were passing through that had no job. He said the fatherless, they had no father to look after them. And the widow, she had no husband or family to look after her. The Bible over in the New Testament tells about a widow indeed has got nobody to look after her. But he saw this little woman come in. She's a widow woman. Then one poor widow came in and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. Now, I looked that up because, you know, that doesn't mean much to us today. But it says, now, this is Old English, but less than a cent. You know, so we would say a penny. Let's, you know, just make it simple. And she threw in, let's say she gave, and threw in a penny into the offering. So Jesus is here like this. He saw this going on. He saw these fellows coming in. You know, they put in lots of money and probably had little bags to put it in. I don't know how they did it, but, you know, put in. And Jesus saw this little widow come in, and she put in her penny, two pennies, whatever. And Jesus said, boys, come here. He said to his disciples, come here. He said, I want to tell you something, show you something. He said, you see all these people? So he called his disciples to him and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who had given into the treasury. You see, he's looking at it different than I'm looking at it. I mean, this fellow came in and put in a bag of money, and this little woman came in and put in these two little pennies. See, because Jesus wasn't looking at the amount. The amount was settled, 10%. You understand that? That was the tithing system. The amount was settled. Anything above that was an offering. But this woman came in and she put in everything she had. She never put in 10% of it. She put in everything that she had. Now, I'm not going out and telling you now to go out and bring in everything you got and put it, bring it into the offering. I'm saying that. But I want you to get the point, because Jesus even wasn't concerned about the amount in that sense. What he's concerned about, he said, this woman has put in all that she had, for out of their abundance, assuredly I say to you that this poor woman has put in more than all those who had given into the treasury, for they all out of their abundance. But she came out of her poverty and put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. You think she was honoring God? I mean, you know, now I'm sure 2 pence back then could do a lot better than we can do with it today. You know, she probably could have bought something with it, a can of milk or something, I don't know. You know, can of beans or something. But she gave everything. She totally trusted God. Totally trusted God. I remember years ago, and just crossing my mind as I was saying that. Years ago, we were in a church in Newfoundland. We just got into ministry 3 or 4 years before that. It was what they called a pioneer church. There's not enough income in the church to you know, finance everything, pay the bills, pay a pastor, all these different things. So head office would send in a check, you know, to pay everything. The pastor took his salary out of that and usually came into, you know, the church as well, but, you know. So the church never had any money as such. And so I can remember it was in November, and we had some problems with a vehicle that we had. How many's gone through that? And then we had, let me put it this way. We had a man that died in the church. Now, it wasn't like today. Never had funeral homes and everything else. When people came, everybody came to the church. We had no kitchen in the church. It's just never had any washrooms in the church. Everybody wanted to use the washroom, come over to the house and use it, you know, just next door. So we had this. I had to go to a different town for some business, and Pat was home, you know, keeping everything going. And the you know, he had the gentleman laid out in the church, and all the family came from different places. And every year in Newfoundland, they would do for the pioneer pastors in these small churches, they would do what they call a grocery shower. All the churches all over the autumn would gather groceries together. Then they meet in a central location and distribute it to the smaller churches. So we used to get that every year. We just got it, and we had all kinds of things in the cupboards. But these people were there for 2 or 3 days, whatever it was, 2 days anyway. And we fed them everything, you know. And Pat was, I mean, she was going around and cooking stuff and getting stuff ready and giving it to them and stuff like this, cleaned out everything we had, you know. And I had all my checks used up. I had $98 left that I could take for salary for the rest of the year. Now, this is in November. This is about middle part of November, early part of November, actually. And I had all my checks used up for the rest of the year because we had, like I said, car payments and everything else, and we didn't know how we were going to, but we thank God that we had a grocery shower come in that would help us get through the groceries and, you know, stuff like that for next month. And so this man died and came in and cleaned out, I'm not exaggerating, cleaned out 95% of the groceries we had. You know, just clean us out. And I can remember I was coming back one night. I was speaking somewhere, doing something. I'm not exactly sure what it was, but I was coming back. And I was trying to figure out, how am I going to live, feed the youngsters, and, you know, everything else, and pay bills is a different point. You couldn't even think about that. You just want to live right now. How am I going to do this for the next month and a half on $98? And I was driving down the road, and this was dark at night, and I was driving down the road and just praying and talking to the Lord, and said, Lord, you know, I don't know what to do. And I started thinking back over, Lord, I don't think I've done anything stupid with it. You know, I've just paid bills with it. I just, you know, different things like this. But God, we're coming up short. And you can call it an audible voice if you want to. It wasn't audible in regards to hearing it out here, but I mean, it was just as loud as somebody said it to me. And God said, you give that to me. You honor me with it. And he said, I'll look after you. I mean, that $98 felt like $5,000. That's everything you had. We had 3 little girls. Stephanie was a baby, probably year old, 2 years old probably. So you're all under, you know, 8 years old or 10 years old. And You know, how am I going to do this? So anyway, I went home. And like I said, it was $98 and so many cents. I forget exactly what it was. It worked out in the thing there. And I said to Pat, I said, showed her in the books. I said, this is, I said, how much money we got left for the rest of the year? And I said, to be honest, it's not going to do anything for us anyway. Go out and buy a few groceries, but that's all I was going to do anyway. I said, I feel we should give that to God. And Pat had always said this. She said, well, if that's what you feel, do it. You know? So I sat down, I wrote out the check. Now this is, like I said, probably when a man died early November, so this is, you know, probably the 7th or 8th of November, somewhere in there. And I wrote out the check for $98 and whatever cents it was. And then I wrote out a check from my own bank account, $98 and so many cents, whatever it was. Because the next day I was going to deposit that on the end of the deposit. So anyhow, I took that and I put it into the church account. So it just came out, really went right back into the church account again. My salary is gone for the year. This is first week or second week of November anyway. And so that was okay. We did the funeral. Everything was done and forgot about, and nobody knew, you know, one thing or another. And I can remember, I needed $270 to make payments, you know, for the rest of the year, which I never had. And I can remember we're sitting down eating supper. And I remember now we had a can of vegetable soup open and a slice of bread. And we're sitting around, and this is what we're eating. We had a few cans of soup left in the cupboard, and this is what we were living on. And we sat down and never thought any more about it. We just, you know, we weren't sad about it or anything like that. We just, it was life, you know. So we just went on. We get through somehow. And we're sitting down, and the pastor from the next town was just driving by, and he said, I'll drop in and see Steve. He dropped in, and he came in, and we're just sitting down to supper. And Pat just joked to him, she said, come in and have a cup of tea with us. She said, we don't have much. She got some soup in it there, and some bread and sandwich or something. And he said, no, it's fine. He said, I'm just driving through. He said, just passing through. And he only stayed, I don't know, 5 minutes maybe, went on again. I never thought any more about it. You know, we just went on and went to bed. Next morning, I get a phone call. He said, Steve, he said, I want you to come up. Now, he was renovating the house that he had bought and different things. And he said, I need your help. He said, put up some cupboards. He said, and I said, sure. So I jumped in the car and went up, you know, he's about 15 miles away, 15, 16 miles away. And so went up to help him, went over to his house for lunch, and he said, come out in church for a minute. And I went out in church, and there's groceries everywhere. The lobby of the church was filled. We had a lobby about that size. I think more groceries than we've had in the grocery shower. Now, this church had just given to the grocery shower just a month before or so, you know, along with all the other churches. And he said, last night, he said, I dropped in your place. And he said, God spoke to me. He said, I had no intention to come to your place. He said, just driving by, he said, your community. And we lived, the community, I think it was 11 kilometers from the main drag. So he was driving up there when God spoke to him to come down. Dropped in 5 minutes, left again. He said, I just felt I had come here last night for some reason. To your house last night. And he said, when I walked in, he said, you fellas are sitting down, he said, with a can of soup. He said, God spoke to me, he said, and told me, he said, that I need to help you out. And he said, I knew, he said, that you got your grocery shower and that. And he still didn't know what happened. I mean, he knew the man died because he was there for the funeral and everything, but he didn't know anything, all the details. And so anyway, he said, some people, he said, didn't want to get, put groceries in, never had time. He said, but so he put a few dollars in there, he said. And he passed over an envelope. He said, I don't know how much in it. He said, count it and see. This is the gospel truth. So we had our groceries back. I had an Aspen station wagon at the time. We loaded that and went down the road like this. You know, front wheels are almost off the ground. And he said, I don't know what came in the envelope. He said, check it and see. And by this time I told him what happened, you know. And we were both there weeping and everything. Open up the envelope, counted out. Now, I needed $270. Came up $268. I was thankful with that. I come up with something else, the other $2 somewhere. And put all the groceries out in the car. And just when I got in the car for the driveway, this is dark now at night. I was just getting ready to leave the driveway at the church. And he said, Steve, hold on. He said, another bag over there in the corner, he said. And he went over and brought the bag over, and there was a pound of butter. Now, the butter in those days, you'd come in the wax boxes type of thing. And sticking out of the end of it was a $2 bill. I've learned you can't outgive God. You can't out-honor him. God said, you honor me, I'll honor you. Prove me. He said, you honor me. He said, I'll open up the windows of heaven. But you see, you would say, I've been tithing all my life, I never received it. Have we been honoring God when we did it? Have we done it and said, God, you've been so good to me. You bless me so much. God, I don't have much, but Lord, here's 10% of what I do have. And God, I'm trusting you. God says, that'll do it. Just pass it here. And God says, to multiply it. Honor God with all your substance, with all the first fruits of all your increase. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine. You can't outgive God.